Well, it is my joy tonight to bring God's word to us. I am excited with what God has to share. We are digging deep into a parable on soils. Digging deep, we are, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, tough crowd tonight, so. But we are in our last week on this parable on the four soils that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4. So we're going to end it and end this parable tonight, ending on a high note. It's probably the most important parable of Jesus if you just go by how much space it gets in the New Testament, the frequency it's mentioned in the New Testament, and it's been called by theologians as the watershed parable of Jesus. So it's extremely important, extremely valuable, and I have felt like the Lord's really been using it in our community. So I'm excited to do part three of that tonight. Now I have a confession that I'd like to start with. I am a person who struggles with perseverance sometimes in certain areas. Anybody else out there? Yes, Caleb Long. Yes, he agrees with me. but yeah, I struggle with perseverance in a few areas. One of the areas, I don't know if you're like me in this, I have a hard time finishing books. Anybody else have a hard time finishing books? Like, I have so many half-read books, I got to buy more bookmarks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and then when I come back to it, I got to start at the beginning because I don't remember what the first half was about because I never finished it. And people used to say, well, that's the author's fault if you don't finish the book. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure it's C.S. Lewis's fault. I'm just not sure about that one. Yeah. In our house, we have a lot of things that we haven't persevered in. We bought a house 2 years ago, and before we bought it, we tried to paint the entire house. We had some students over painting, and we almost made it, but we didn't quite make it, and that was 2 years ago. Amy took this picture today. I don't know if you can see that. Okay, yeah, there. It's a little bit better. Those are half-painted doors that have been that way for 2 years. That's my son's door. He's just started decorating over the half paint. You know what I'm saying? He's like hanging his Pokemon over the half paint. Like he knows it ain't happening anytime soon. You know, that's our door right there. It's half painted on both sides. Like, I don't know why we did just half of each side, but we did. One time where we half painted a room and we left the blue tape up, an out of town company came twice and that blue paint was still up there. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I'm like, well, we're busy, you know. No, we just don't persevere. We're like, what are we doing, right? Another area I have a hard time persevering in, maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't, is exercise. I mean, ever since I got married, I just struggle to persevere and exercise. And so 1 year, I'm like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all my Christmas money from my parents, my grandparents, and I'm going to buy a gym membership at the AFC. At that point, I worked like a block from the AFC. And I thought, if I took all of my Christmas money and leveraged it for a year membership at the AFC, I am frugal enough, I will not waste that money. That was my Christmas money, and I worked one block from the gym, okay? Well, January started off really well, you know. Going about three times a week, but then my knees start hurting. So then I ended up on the elliptical machine. And I don't know if you ever noticed this, but at least when I was going, it was like just me and women on the elliptical machine. And I, as hard as I tried, there's no manly way to do the elliptical machine. You're like, this just does not feel manly at all, you know. And I'm like, I'm done with this, you know. So one time I even said, okay, I'm going to go swimming. So I bought my goggles and I went swimming. And all of a sudden as I'm swimming, and there's like old ladies swimming past me because my legs are like knives in the water. I'm just like. And the first time I go swimming, I hear glug glug. I was like, oh, that didn't feel right. I got an ear infection. I had to go to the doctor, $150 to get rid of the ear infection. I'm like, okay, I'm done. The Lord does not want me in shape. That's what I figured. Anybody out there with me? Like, you just struggle someday. You know it's important, but you just struggle to persevere. Jesus is going to show us today the beauty of a life that perseveres, that a life that's faithful, a life that's consistent, and a life that perseveres following him has supernatural potential because of what God can do. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you will, open up your Bibles to Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to read the parable again, and then we're going to read the application of the final soil, which we're focusing on tonight. Chapter 4, verse 3 says this. Listen! A farmer went out to sow his seed. This is Jesus talking. And as he scattered his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times. Now, I've told you guys that some of Jesus' parables are absolutely hilarious. And let me tell you, what you just read was hilarious to the people who heard it. Right on time, right on time. Just like the mail, just like the mail. And this is where Josh Moran comes down. Jeez Louise. Is this going to be part of the weekly liturgy? I'm going to have to build the screen time into the timeline. Cough moment. There we go. As I was talking about hilarious, this parable was actually a hilarious parable to the original listeners. When Jesus said, and this, I'll just read it here. Here's how they heard it. The other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop multiplying 30. No way, Jesus. 60. Oh, you've done it now, Jesus. Even 100 times they fell off their log backwards. We don't get it because we don't live in an agrarian society, and you all just go to Kroger. You know what I'm saying? Like, but these people knew how hilarious Jesus was being. This was the punchline to the four soils, and they were all slapping their knees, giving each other high fives, like, Jesus, you're hilarious. Because in this day, an average harvest was 7.5 times. A bumper crop would be a tenfold harvest. And Jesus says, 30-fold. No way. No way. 60-fold. Oh, 60-fold. 100-fold. Did you hear what he said? And we totally miss it. Jesus isn't talking about a bumper crop. He's talking about a supernatural harvest. That what can happen will be absolutely supernatural. Now, the first three soils end in crop failure. And so in some ways, you could view this parable as a little bit depressing, but the fourth, actually, this parable is not a depressing parable. It's not a parable about failure. This is an encouraging parable. This is a parable of great hope that supernatural things can happen with good soil and a seed planted in it. Now, we're going to read the interpretation that Jesus gives, verse 20, and then we're going to read Luke's account of the fourth soil. And in Mark, he puts it this way, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. And so Jesus says that it's about receiving the word, accepting the word, being faithful and living it out, that this crop begins to take hold. Now Luke put it this way, there we go, all right. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, everybody say persevering. There we go. By persevering, produce a crop. By persevering. So what is implied in Mark, Luke brings out to the forefront by persevering, by those who live it faithfully, that the power and potential that is inherent within the seed is realized while you persevere. Now, this is, like I said, this is an extremely encouraging parable. The first few soils, there's failure. The second one, it receives, there's like this momentary high of like, yeah, Jesus. And then when the scorching sun comes, it fades away. The third one is yeah, Jesus. And then the thorns come and choke out the word. And then the fourth one, the high, this momentary high, the joy of receiving Jesus isn't just a momentary high, but by persevering, the high turns into a supernatural harvest. And that is what God's will is. That's the power of his word. That's his desire in your life. That it wouldn't be an emotional high, but it would be faithfulness and persevering in the word. And as you do that there would be a supernatural harvest. Now, here's one thing that I've learned as I've read the Bible for years now, that one of the key virtues of the Christian life is simply faithfulness, persevering, consistency, plodding on. Just keep doing, keep on keeping on in the Christian life. That is one of the major virtues of the Christian life, is faithfulness, perseverance. We have a vision statement for Chi Alpha that we have on our wall in the office, and it says this, that the last is this, building lifelong followers of Jesus. You know, my goal isn't just to make good Chi Alphans for 4 years, like, oh, that was awesome for those 4 years. No. The goal of Chi Alpha is building lifelong followers of Jesus. In fact, when you graduate, first years, it's hard for you to think about, but when you graduate, here's what I'm going to tell you. That I don't know if I have done my job as your pastor, the staff has done their job as your pastors, until 5 years after you graduate. Are you still faithfully persevering in your walk with God? Because it isn't just about 4 good years, but it's about what God can do in you and through you and over the long haul, not 4 years, but 40 and 50 and 60 years of life or more. And so, persevering. Here's the problem. It's hard to persevere. I mean, I opened up with ways that I struggle to persevere in my own life. Now, it's hard. Why is it hard to persevere? One of the reasons why it's hard to persevere is because oftentimes you just don't see the results quickly, right? And that's why I appreciate this metaphor that's agrarian, because it's like this. Okay, when you guys probably never done this, but when you plant a seed, you don't go out the next week to pick the harvest, do you? But when you plant the seed, you have to plow the ground, you plant the seed, then you guys remember what you do every morning at 9 a.m.? You hoe row beans, right? You guys, I don't know if you remember that. But what happens is, the seed is in the soil, and here's what happens. Nothing for a while. You don't see anything. There's no evidence that the seed is even in there unless you were to go under the surface. There's no visible evidence, but under the surface, there's something profound happening. The seed is germinating. And then after weeks of that germination, something starts to sprout out through the ground. And you know what that means? It's still going to be months before you ever get a harvest. And so you come out, and there's the saying in Northern Illinois was knee high by the 4th of July for the corn, right? So, okay. But what happened would it take months and months, and then you start to see the stalk forming, you start to see the corn forming, and then pretty soon the tassels would change colors, and you know it's harvest time, but it takes months. And in a culture of microwaves and high-speed internet and text messages, that's not how your walk with God works. But the picture is that maturity takes perseverance, and it takes the long haul. And I'll meet with people who are first years, and they're ready to shed sin. And 6 months later, they're tired of it. And I'm like, just keep on. The seed is germinating. And if you'll keep doing it, there won't just be a little harvest. No. Supernatural harvest. One that'll make you hold your side when you look at it. So this is an encouraging parable. In fact, Jesus then helps us deal with the slowness by telling us another parable. And I want to read it, verse 26 through 29, so if you'll read along with me. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, we always have Bibles at the welcome table. Take one, okay? Take one. We want you to have a Bible. It says this, verse 26, Jesus also said, again, agrarian metaphor, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's going to tell us about the nature of the kingdom of heaven. You want to know that if you want to know what the nature of the kingdom of God is like, how do things work in the kingdom? You're going to read it right now. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And Jesus tells us this parable for a very specific reason, because he wants the attention of the growth and maturity of the harvest in the right place. He says this, the man sows. What is the human agency in this? That the man sows. He sows seed, right? But that's all he does. He sows the seed faithfully. And then he goes about his daily routine, it says. Goes to bed, wakes up. Says this, there's a divine agency involved. How does the seed grow? Well, it says that the guy just does his stuff and he goes through his daily routine and he's faithful and he's persevering in what he knows to do. But then he goes out and he looks and something has sprouted up and he knows not how. He goes, wow, look at that. Look at that. That wasn't there yesterday. What happened? And he knows not how. Now, this speaks to us that there's mystery in our growth with God. It speaks to something else, that there's also an inevitability as you persevere and the seed is planted in your heart, that you will mysteriously experience maturity and growth, but there's also an inevitability even when you wonder when the crop's coming. It's coming, baby. The seed will do its work. The power of God will keep on keeping on till something sprouts in your life, and that's good news, isn't it? Good news. So where am I going with this? Here's what I'm saying. God is at work in your life, even if you don't see it. And you can be guaranteed that there's an inevitability of a harvest if you'll just persevere. Now, there was a Japanese theologian who wrote a book that I never read, but I heard another theologian refer to it. So there you go. I like the title of it. I don't need to read the book. The title is this. Our 2-mile-an-hour God. Now, that took an Eastern person to write that, because we'd be our 200-mile-an-hour God, you know, in the West, because everything's just boom, 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 you know, so fast. Our 2-mile-an-hour God, that we serve a God. You wonder about the nature of the kingdom? It's progressive. It's mysterious. And it's not just going, bam, on the scene. It's often going to be mysterious and progressive, that the 2-mile-an-hour God is at work when you even wonder what's going on. But it's happened so slowly, it's imperceptible. But someday you're going to look down and you're like, whoa, how'd that happen? Our 2-mile-an-hour God. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you thought about the supernatural happening slowly? Because we're talking about a supernatural harvest that happens subtly and slowly. And we're not sure we have time for that. Well, what I want to do is I want to spend just a few minutes talking about how it works in our lives and then talking about how it works through our lives. So let's first talk about how it works in our lives. First of all, our sanctification, which simply means this, our growing to look more like Jesus happens progressively. Now, what I love about the parable I just read about the seed that grows is the farmer goes out and he sees something who just pokes through the soil. It's amazing to me. When he saw that, he didn't say, huh, I wonder why I didn't grow up with a full ear of corn hanging on it. I expected that thing to shoot through like a full ear of corn, ready to be popped, you know, like, he didn't say that. Here's my bet. My bet is he's like, he went home, told his wife, his fellow farmers, hey, guess what happened? stalk shot through. You know what that means? The harvest is coming. Few more months. The harvest is coming. And he celebrated it. Why do I bring this up? Here's why I bring it up. Because we are such perfectionists in this room that all we can do is focus on what hasn't been done yet. That we don't celebrate what God has already done in our lives. And I believe that there's a powerful reality here that we need to be able to celebrate the evidences of the grace of God that we already see in our lives instead of being transfixed on the area that we still need to grow in. And when you think about your walk with God, do you think about everything he's already done, or are you focusing on the area you still need to grow in? Here's the thing. When you focus on what he's already done, it'll actually encourage you to keep persevering into the things that he still desires to do. Isn't that cool? Well, you know, it's kind of like my kids. You know, I don't go up to my daughter Nevaeh is learning to read, and we do sight words together. And you know what? I can celebrate. You know, she has 30 sight words. Say she got 10 last week, and this week she gets 15. I'll be like, "You got 5 more sight words." I'm not like you still miss 15. Come on. No, that's not. It's not my heart. Like, you got 5 more. And guess what? Next week, you get 5 more. We got a long, long time to keep learning those sight words. And numbers, she can, like, tell some time now. And I don't say, well, you don't know calculus. Think you're all that? You know, I don't. With my son, he's playing football. And he can actually throw a pretty good spiral and catch a spiral with his hands. And I can celebrate that. I'm not saying, but son, you're still throwing off your back foot. I mean, come on. You got to work on that footwork. Like he's getting ready to try out for the Redskins or something. You know, like, I understand that the kid's development is progressive. And as children of God, your development in your walk with God will be progressive. I love the beginning of the letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians. You know why I love it? Here's why I love it. Because it starts like this. I thank God for all the grace that he's given you and all the good stuff he's doing in you. And I look around and I see his grace. You know why I love that? Because that church was a wreck. It was an absolute disaster. They were divisive. They had divisions in their church. They had people sleeping with their stepmom. They had lawsuits. They were proud. They were messing up everything from the Lord's Supper to the spiritual gifts. And how does the Apostle Paul start? I just thank God. We're going to deal with all that in a little bit. But first, I just want to thank God for all the grace that I see in your life and all the good stuff he's doing. Now let's talk about the hot mess, right? Are you guys following me? Because he understood there's stuff to be celebrated in the middle of the progressive sanctification of this church. And there's stuff to be celebrated in your life. And I have a question for you. Will you celebrate what God has already done in your life instead of just looking at where you still need to grow? Because if you will, it will actually encourage you to keep on keeping on and to mature into that supernatural harvest. I remember a student from Malaysia who had come to Christ in our fellowship years ago. And I had a friend over, and I said, hey, why don't you tell him your testimony? And here's the first thing he said. He said, well, to be honest with you, my testimony just keeps growing. And my friend said, yeah, that's right. You add living water, stir with the cross. It just keeps growing. I thought that was great, you know. That's what happens. If you keep adding living water, stirring with the cross, stuff is just going to keep growing until there is a supernatural harvest. Now, I'm old, okay? So, I went to my 10-year high school reunion 10 years ago. That's depressing. And you know what happened when I went 10 years ago? Something crazy happened. They voted me most changed. And I was like, wow. Huh. I was kind of shocked. You know why? Because I'm painfully aware of all the places I still need to grow in my walk with Jesus. And yet, people hadn't seen me in 10 years, that what was imperceptible day to day and progressive in nature, they hadn't seen me in 10 years. And when they saw me, they're like, whoa, you are different. And it was so encouraging to me that though I know the areas I need to grow, that God was keeping on in my life over those 10 years. Will you focus on the places where God's grace is already evident? Or will you focus on the areas solely that you just need to grow in? Because if you'll focus where you can already see the grace of God, it will encourage you to grow in those other areas as well. Now, let's talk about what it looks like through us, how God works through us progressively. You know, I read the second parable, verses 26 through 29, in North Africa about 2 years ago. I was with a missionary that you guys know, Jack. I was with Jack. And we read this together and we talked about it together. And Jack had been there a couple years. Another worker was there as well. And they had seen zero converts for a couple years, facing the difficulties of living there. No converts. Yes, seed was being sown. I went to a Bible study that they were doing with some guys, and yet they'd seen no converts. And as we studied this, I remember how encouraged Jack was. Like, that's awesome. You know, Jack makes his little face. He's like, that's awesome. I'm so encouraged. He said, because it's mysterious, but there's an inevitability of a harvest. And can I tell you 2 years later that one of the guys that we studied the Bible with when I was there is now a baptized follower of Jesus, that the harvest has started to break forth in North Africa? Because Jesus was right, that if you'll just persevere, that you may not know how, if you'll persevere, God will do stuff through you. Whenever I was in college, I was at a Chi Alpha meeting, and this weird dude spoke. He was from California, and I never heard of him, and he was quirky, really quirky. But he had my attention, because quirky people have my attention. You guys know what I'm talking about? He loved Jesus, and he's just so quirky, he couldn't, like, glaze over. And so he said something that night that stuck in my heart. He was just sowing the seed of the word out there, and he said this. He said, and I was an accounting major, so that may have been why I connected with him. He says, infinity times one equals infinity. And when he said that, it was like, whew, that seed of truth just stuck in my heart. That God is infinite, and if one person will make themselves available to God, that God can do supernatural, infinite things through one person because he is infinite. And so it stuck in my heart so much that my girlfriend at the time, her name was Amy, her last name's now Bulette. She made me this. Infinity times one equals infinity. And when we moved to Charlottesville, we hung it up on our wall in our office. And every day I'd walk in and I would see infinity times one equals infinity. That means a student might come. I wasn't sure, but I knew it was possible. Then one time I was at a conference 15 years later, and a guy says to one of my staff workers, he says, I went to UVA. And they say, really? What's your name? He said, Jonathan Gainsborough. I turned around in the middle of that conversation. I said, your name is Jonathan Gainsborough? He said, yeah, why? I said, you spoke at Southern Illinois University in 1997, and you spoke infinity times one equals infinity, and that changed my life. And you went to UVA? He said, yeah, I was a hippie. I didn't wear shoes. I had long hair. Everybody called me Jesus, but no one told me about him. He said, but finally, somebody did tell me about Jesus and it changed my life. And I thought, and the seed grows and you know not how. He didn't even know who I was. Little did he know the place where he was called Jesus, but no one ever told him about that God used that phrase to bring a campus pastor here. and the seed grows and you know not how. There's a guy by the name of John who was a roommate with another guy in Chi Alpha, and they're both brilliant. They both graduated in 2.5 years. And he was an atheist, a very staunch atheist, and his roommate was in Chi Alpha, and they would have a lot of conversations. Well, his roommate introduced him to a lot of other Chi Alpha people, and it wasn't until after he graduated and started a couple businesses that he really started to come to Chi Alpha when he was in Charlottesville. And after Chi Alpha, his friends would walk around the lawn with him, and they would talk about the message. And this went on for years. Years. Not 2 weeks. Years. I had lunches with him for a long time. Ken Elzinger met with him many times. And then I met with him. And he said, "Pete, I've started to follow Jesus." And today, he is so committed to the Lord because people were faithful in sowing seed, but God did something and something sprung up, and yet we know not how. But that's what happens. It's the progressive nature of the kingdom. We invite somebody 2 times, we give up. They come with us 2 times, they don't get saved, we give up. But if we'll just keep on keeping on sowing the seed, persevering, God will mysteriously use it and things will grow and you will know not how. Don't grow weary in doing good. In due time, you will reap a harvest. He who began a good work in you will see it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Our sanctification in us is progressive. God's work through us is progressive. Will we persevere and see the harvest? Let me close with some questions. Worship team, if you could come up. We're going to close with a song after I ask you these questions. But let me, please be mindful. Keep your attention on me while I ask you these questions. Number one, will you commit to persevere even when you don't see the results? Will you persevere even when the circumstances are hard? When the sun is scorching, will you persevere? There's a supernatural harvest around the corner. Will you persevere when fear is knocking at your door? Will you persevere walking in faith? When you begin to covet and fall for the deceitfulness of wealth, will you persevere in your contentment in Jesus? Because if you will, a supernatural harvest is around the corner. Let me ask you another question. You can go ahead and start to play, Cheryl. Let me ask you another question. Will you celebrate the places you already see God's grace instead of focus on just solely on the places where you still need to grow? Because if you will, if you'll celebrate what you've already seen God do, it will encourage you to persevere in the areas you still need to grow. And though you don't think God's doing anything in the marching band or anything in your sorority or fraternity or anything in your dorm or anything wherever you're at, even among the other people of Chi Alpha, will you keep sowing the seed? Because I believe that there's an inevitability of a harvest if you will persevere and be faithful. Will you persevere? Some of you are here tonight. You've been coming to Chi Alpha and you've been shocked you've been coming to Chi Alpha. But over this past month, as we head into fall break, over this past month, seed has been sown in your heart. And now your heart is starting to open to Jesus, and there's something that's starting to push through the soil of your heart. And if you will just repent and turn to Jesus, there could be a harvest of life, of new life in your heart. If you'll just repent of your sins and make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, the seed is germinating in your heart and you know it. Each week you come in here and it feels a little bit more comfortable and you know you're a little bit closer to Jesus. If that is you tonight, and you want to accept Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to step into the new life. If that's you tonight, will you just raise your hand and say, yes, tonight that is me, and I want to step into the new life. You here? Yes. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? There's a couple people. The seed is poking through tonight. New life is coming. Yes, another one. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, another one. Yes, there's more seed popping up. The Holy Spirit is drawing people to Jesus. Will you guys celebrate with us tonight? Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. For you four that raise your hand, we're going to pray. Lord, we thank you that you are opening their hearts to you, and tonight they want to step into this new life. I pray you would flood them with the Holy Spirit. I pray there'd be a great harvest in their life, that as the seed is embedded in their hearts, Lord God, that you would do amazing things as they receive your forgiveness, your death, burial, and resurrection. And they step into this new life. Lord, I pray that your grace would be abundant, that your power would be abundant in their lives. And that I'll talk to them in 4 years, in 5 years, and I'll see supernatural harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Will you guys give the Lord a hand for what he's doing tonight? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We stand with us. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who keeps on keeping on, that you chased John for years, and that you're pursuing people in this room. Lord, we thank you for the people who turned around to the one who is chasing them tonight. Oh God, we look forward to seeing the harvest in their lives. Lord, may your presence be intimate. May your scriptures come alive to them. May the gospel produce a harvest in their hearts. Lord, we say, keep up your good work in our lives. We want the supernatural harvest. Lord, keep up your good work through our lives. Lord, we pray to see that harvest in the lives of those that we love and that you love dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.